Acts 16, verses 25 through 40. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then they brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. But when it was day, the magistrates sent the police, saying, "Let those men go." And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Therefore, come out now and go in peace." But Paul said to them, "They have beaten us publicly, uncondemned, men who are Roman citizens, and have thrown us into prison. And do they now throw us out secretly? No, let them come themselves and take us out." The police reported these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Roman citizens. So they came and apologized to them, and they took them out and asked them to leave the city. So they went out of the prison and visited Lydia. And when they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them and departed.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I really like this story.
Yeah, pretty powerful.
You know, I got to go to Philippi one time. You know that?
I would assume you have if you've been over there.
I mean, it's a good place to go. I did the whole, like, what I'll call, like, Paul's second missionary journey. So we kind of, like, did the whole Macedonian call. We went over, and then we went, you know, did all the Neapolis, Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, you know, the whole thing, Athens, Corinth. And so it was awesome. It was an amazing trip.
Especially in a vehicle.
Yes. Better than walking, right?
Yeah.
Paul got around, though.
Apparently,
well, you
yeah.
know, but he took the boat. After Berea, he took the boat down to Athens. That's why he's ahead of them. We'll get to that. We'll okay. get to that. We're not there yet, Tara, so okay. calm down. But anyway, but that's why, you know, he's in Athens alone when he goes up to the Areopagus. But anyway, we'll get to that. But let's stay in Philippi for a while. But anyway, what I was going to say is, in Philippi, now, you know, you never know, right? You know, who knows? But they have the spot where the jail was, and in the wall at the back of the jail, there's this like huge crack in the rock as if an earthquake happened there. I mean, an earthquake did happen there. Was
sure.
that crack this earthquake? But maybe. I mean, why wouldn't it
cool
have been?
To imagine.
It is an amazing thing to imagine.
Yeah.
And I love, you know, their tenderness toward this jailer. It's mm-hmm. it's really, actually, there's a lot in this passage because
yeah.
Paul is so tender to the jailer, yet later on, he's like kind of crying out like, "Hey, an injustice
yeah.
was done."
Yeah.
And so it's just very interesting, mm-hmm. You know, Paul's, I think, wisdom and, you know, even just watchfulness, I guess,
yeah.
Kind of to reflect on this past Sunday's sermon. I don't know. So what are your thoughts on the passage?
Well, yeah, you don't really hear about that last section whenever you hear about this Philippian jailer story.
It kind of ends with the whole, the family was converted and they
well,
got
that,
baptized.
I mean, I do feel like you hear about that because that is this is one of the like solid passages for supporting paedo baptism. But I'm talking about like when Paul is arguing with the police, you don't ever really hear
That's
about
what I'm
that.
Saying. Yeah, no, I'm saying you do hear about that. Although, you know, of course I don't think this is a argument toward paedo baptism.
Right.
I think
kind
the
of
household believed.
Yeah.
And then we're baptized.
That's kind of what I wanted to talk about was one of my observations from this passage. Last week in our community group, we're in a series right now about how to study the Bible. And our topic last week was interpretation. And Connor Mayer, shout out to Connor Mayer, gave me really great visual of these concentric circles. Also looks like a target for how to
Could
think
be
about
called
like
a target.
How to interpret the Bible. Actually telling people it's a target, if you're listening in your car, you have a good visual in your mind.
Concentric circles or a target.
Yeah. So the outer circle is the whole of the Bible. The next inner circle is that specific book of the Bible. So for now, it's the book of Acts. Thinking about these purposes from the outermost circle all the way to the innermost.
Right, right.
Next is that passage, and then specifically the verse is the innermost circle. And when you're coming to a passage, you need to have the book in mind and you need to have the Bible in mind. And like, so then what is the purpose of this passage? The purpose of this passage, and, you know, even specifically the verse about him and all his household were saved, it's really to like see the beginnings of the church, which is the point of the book of Acts, and see how like people were coming to faith all around them because of their faithfulness in sharing the word and preaching the scriptures, which is like another example in the passage for tomorrow's reading of just Paul and Silas being faithful.
Yeah.
To preach the word, and how they got to see the fruit of that with a lot of people.
And particularly the church of Philippi, right? So like,
yeah.
This is how, because people knew, like people that were reading Acts, they were like, oh yeah, yeah, I know about the church of Philippi. Like I know the God's over at work over there. And so how was the church of Philippi planted? And it's kind of interesting because you have, you have some very interesting stories, right? So you have Lydia, who was this like, you know, businesswoman, successful,
yeah.
You know, a Tara Shigadans Thompson type, right? Really smart, really put together. Okay. Then you have the demon possessed, woman, right? So, you know, probably a troubled past, but kind of this very dramatic conversion, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have the jailer who's just like normal blue collar guy, you know? So it's interesting. Like there's a lot of folks in this early little church. Like that's the church. Like that's the guys, that's the folks that formed this first little church.
And that's the church today too.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's just like, this is a good, I like the Philippian church. And obviously Paul does too. Like he says they're his joy and his crown. Remember that when he writes that in Philippians?
Yeah.
He loves this church and I kind of love it too. I want to go there. I actually been there, but it's different than it was. You know, these people aren't still, you know.
Yeah.
In the church. But yeah, it's a really, really helpful story. But I think you're right. Like the point is, okay, we see preaching, we see people being saved, we see people as a response to salvation being baptized, and then we see a church planted.
Yeah.
That's a great model for us today.
And another thing I wanted to say, not that this is the point of the passage, but like at the very beginning, it says Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And then later on in the passage, when the jailer wakes up, he asks, "Sirs, how may I be saved?" And like, if they hadn't been praying and singing hymns to God, the jailer would not have ascribed this power to God.
Yeah, it's good.
And it just kind of makes you think, like, I can't remember who said this last week. It may have been Blake, about like, what is rare today that like is very different from the rest of the culture? And one of those things is like hospitality and opening your home. Blake was saying like, every Tuesday night, we have cars lined up on our street.
Oh, this was at the leaders gathering, the brunch.
Oh, it was. You're right.
Yeah.
That is so rare and like a very easy thing for us to continue doing with joy, to just show others that like there's something different about us.
That's good.
Praying and singing hymns is a very abnormal thing to do in this world, especially like organized singing, like singing with someone else, memorized words. Like every Thursday night at our place, we sing from Hymns of Grace, the hymnal, right in our living room, all 16 of us, whoever there. I'm sure like if a neighbor's ever walking by and they can hear
what is
humming,
going on in there, yeah.
What is happening?
Well, we've had that same experience. I mean, like, you know, we're back in the group game now, Tara, but you know, for a while we had a group in our house. Then of course we met the collective, then the stave room or whatever. But you know, when, you know, people would come up to me and they would be like,
"What are you doing?"
Why? Because, you know, for a while it was like all these 25-year-olds. They were like, why are these like 25-year-olds carrying their Bible down our street? Like, they were just like, what is going on here? But yeah, I mean, I think to your point, like there was evidence that, hey, we follow Jesus in this house, and there was a sign to the watching world. I think that's a great way to think about life, is just, there is a watching world. What are you communicating to the watching world?
Right.
And as the Lord starts to show up, as he does in this story, the watching world, you know, will they know that you are connected to Jesus or not? And so that's a great word. Well, for Tara Thompson, I'm Jason Dees. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to Our Daily Rhythm. I'm Jason Dees, one of the pastors of Christ Covenant Church.
And Our Daily Rhythm is a ministry of our church designed to help you more faithfully and effectively meditate on God's Word. If you ever have a question for us about one of our Bible readings or one of your own Bible readings, please don't hesitate to text us at 404-465-1737. Again, that's 404-465-1737. Or email me directly at jason@christcovenant.com. We'll meet you again tomorrow for Our Daily Rhythm.